This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة إن شاء الله حديث السادس عشر حديث number 16 حديث is حديث صحيح البخاري in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said and the hadith is from Abi Huraira. And Abi Huraira رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصيني O Messenger of Allah advise me قال لا تغضب لا تغضب فردد مرارا قال لا تغضب رواه البخاري. The hadith is an advice from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this particular companion who asked him to give him to advise him. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not get angry, do not become angry. فَرَدَّدَ مِرَارًا He repeated over and over again, لَا تَغْضَبْ Do not get angry. So when you look at this particular hadith, we understand that by default, you should never get angry, right? But that's actually not the correct understanding of the hadith. Because there's different levels of anger. It's not possible for someone not to be angry. And sometimes it's mandatory for a person to be angry. And sometimes when somebody becomes angry, and if it's for the wrong reason, it might take them outside the state of Islam. So anger itself is of different types and categories. And there are times in which you have to be angry. Why? Because these are times in which if you're not angry, then it's an indication of someone who has no faith, no iman. So there are certain times, but what are the effects of it, and what does it mean? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, he says, "Do not get angry." That means you should never be angry. But then we find out many hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was angry. So there are certain instances and in certain situations. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very angry. He was so angry that you could see that his veins on his neck would almost pop out. Like you can see it. As you can see the effects of it, the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his veins and his face. And so sometimes he did become very angry. So it's not, when he says do not become angry, what kind is it? Well, let's first and foremost, we have to realize that anger itself is natural. But if somebody is angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's that which is praiseworthy and that which is not praiseworthy. If you get angry for other reasons, for yourself and so forth. And that's why someone who knows when to become angry and when to hold back, this is what's called strength. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith in Sahih Bukhari in Muslim عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس الشديد بالسرعة ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. It is not a person who is strong. One who is strong and one who is, you know, firm is not someone who is able to wrestle other people or is stronger than other people in strength and be able to out-wrestle someone. In the mashadid, the one who is really strong is the one who yamliku nafsahu عند الغضب. He's able to control. Malaka yamliku means he owns himself. That means he's able to control himself in times of anger. In times of anger. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said, "Laysa shadidu bisura'a." Right, a sura'a here, is someone who, musara'a is when you're wrestling somebody. A sura'a is one who is able to, like, he's strong, and it's not because you have that strength or ability. That's not what strength is. And, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's how somebody determines if one is stronger than the other. Like in our time, if you wanted to know who's stronger, what would you do? Well, you have weights that you lift, right? So if you lift more weight, then you're stronger than the other person. In the old days, if you see, okay, are you stronger than me? Yeah, if you are stronger than me, if you can out-wrestle me, then you're stronger than me. Like, you can out-wrestle me, that means you're stronger than me. And so that's what they used to do. In fact, even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of the best. He was the strongest. He wasn't just strong in terms of his faith, iman, and intellect, but he was also strong physically. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have, inshallah, in the hadith, when we get to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll speak a little bit more also about the strength of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in time. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to become angry, but he never got angry for personal reasons. He never got angry for personal reasons. There's a hadith from in Sahih Muslim. And Aisha radiallahu anha qalat. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Ma daraba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shay'an qat. Ma daraba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shay'an qat biyadihi." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hit anything with his hand. Wala imra'atan, wala khadiman. He never hit any woman. He never hit any slave. Illa ayyujahida fi sabilillah. Except in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in jihad, fi sabilillah. Wama nila minhu shay'un qat. فَيَنْتَقِمَ مِنْ صَاحِبِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُنْتَهَكَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never avenge anything whatsoever when something happens to him, except if the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had been broken, meaning if somebody did something haram, and somebody did something that was against the teachings of Islam, and that was against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَنْتَقِمَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And he would avenge only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never was angry for personal reasons. And he never avenged for personal reasons. Everything was based on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you did something that was displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he was angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why sometimes people would do something to him, like would harm him physically. But for personal reasons, he would always hold himself, and he would never get angry for personal reasons. And that's why in Sahih Bukhari, in a situation that was very, very, like it's an amazing situation where we see the clemency and the patience of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said, "Kuntu amshi ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa alaihi burdatun najrani." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking one day with me, and he was wearing a burda, which is a cloak that he was wearing from Najran, ghalidh al-hashiyah. Ghalidh al-hashiyah, that means it had some clothing, you have these sides, not the sides, like the sides of the cloth, very thick. So you have sometimes some cloth and you have the trim, what is it? They call them trimmings? The trimmings on the cloth, They were very, very غليل الحاشية. فأدركه أعرابي. And so a Bedouin came after and caught up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, caught up with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is Arabi? These are the people who are in the desert. They don't interact with a lot of people. They roam from place to place, taking care of their flock, from valley to valley, looking for pasture for their animals, and so they are considered very, very harsh because they live in a very harsh environment. So they're very, very harsh. And so he came and he caught up with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَبَذَ بِرِدَائِهِ فَجَبَذَ بِرِدَائِهِ So he pulled his rida, which he was wearing, right, with upper garment. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that cloak on him. And rida is the upper garment. And izar is the lower garment. فَجَبَذَ بِرِدَائِهِ جَبْذَةً شَدِيدًا So he pulled his garment very, very strongly. He pulled it violently. And you know, for those who have worn, if you have made Hajj, and you know, sometimes they sit on your rida and you stand up and it pulls and you'll see that it burns, sort of like this, the burning of the towel rubbing against you because you stand up and you didn't realize he was sitting against you. And sometimes you're making tawaf, it's so crowded that your ridat gets stuck and it gets pulled. And it gets pulled and then your neck sometimes become red as a result of it. So this man, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he pulls it violently. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَى صَفْحَةِ عَاتِقِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ He said, I looked at the neck of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the area above his shoulders and the open area above his shoulders. I looked at it and I said, وَقَدْ أَثَّرَتْ بِهَا حَاشِيَةُ الرِّدَاءِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ جَبْذَتِهِ And you can see the effects of that violent pull by that Bedouin. And he says to him, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, murli min mali Allah alladhi indak. Murli. Or command your people. I mean, command your companions. In other words, command them to give me the wealth of Allah that you have. And the wealth of us. So he's like, command them, give me money. Give me some of the money that you guys have. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faltafata ilayhi fadhahika thumma amara lahu bi'ata. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even after that, he smiled. He laughed. Like, subhanAllah, like imagine you're hurt, right? And this guy is very rude. Extremely rude. And he's extremely violent. And the Messenger of Allah looks at him. Says, well, as if to say, you know, this man pulled him. Oh, and that's all you want is money? Oh, give him some. Ya Allah, give him some. Give him some money. Why? Because if somebody were to pull you like that, what would you want? What are you thinking? Right? Somebody wants to fight me, right? And then when he's thinking like, oh, he just wants money, I'll give him some. I thought he was like, but you know, it hurts, right? But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi never became angry for any personal reasons whatsoever. Look at the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Indeed, this money, the wealth, because he kept on asking, he said, give me some more, and give me some more." He said, okay, give him some more, because it was so easy for him, and he kept on asking. And you have to understand that these Bedouins are very, very very, that's their lifestyle. You know, you might think that somebody is very, very rude, but sometimes they don't know that they're rude because they think that's normal. And that's why in different cultures, some people consider certain things rude, but, you know, in another culture, it might not be rude. It might be normal. That's how people interact with others. Like, you know, sometimes when you go to, like, especially Southeast Asians, right? Southeast Asians, when they go to make Hajj, when they speak to each other, it's always very light, very soft, right? And then you go to Mecca and you see some of the Arabs and people are speaking to each other. They're always yelling at each other, right? And in Southeast Asia, if you see somebody yelling at each other like that, it's going to be a big fight. That must be a big fight, but that's not, you know, like in Mecca too, it's different than Medina. Mecca's rough. You have so many people coming in and out, and it's just, everything is so much faster. And that's why if you go to a place like New York, the way people drive is very, very, very aggressive, right? People drive very aggressive. In Seattle, people drive very aggressive. If you go out a little bit further, people are not so aggressive. In some cities, but they're not so aggressive. And you compare aggressive driving to US, you think that's aggressive? Wait until you go to Saudi Arabia. wait until you go to Egypt. You go to Egypt, you're like, mashallah. And that's why, you know what, one of my teachers, he came to Seattle here. And the brothers took him around and he's in the car. And you know how people drive, right? If you're like on the right lane, you just stay in the right lane, right? You stay in your lane. Even if there's space, you don't move. It's only like two cars over. What are you going to benefit? You know, in Saudi Arabia, it's not like that. If there's room on the other side, there's no way they're staying here. They're going to move or try to get as close as they can to the traffic light, right? Isn't that true? In other countries, I don't know, in some countries it's like that, right? Very aggressive, very, 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 very aggressive driving. So my teacher, the teacher of mine, he came here and he went back and we were sitting down having tea and he was speaking to the people, right? And I was listening to him speak. He says, Ya Allah, people in America, he said, following the rule, traffic rules is sacred. They follow it more than we follow the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah. he said, there's a lane. If you have more than two people, then you can go on it. If you have one person, you don't go on it. Nobody cheats. He said, we're going fast. If that we had a lane like that in Saudi Arabia, nobody would listen. Nobody would follow. Not to say everyone would you have one person, they would still go on it. Nobody would follow the rules of the traffic laws and rules, right? And so it's like, the driving there is very aggressive. And that's their nature. It's different. And so if someone comes here and drives like that, people get very angry at them. People become very angry at them, right? And every city is a little bit different. Some cities, people are very, very, easygoing. Like here in Seattle, it used to be, drivers were a lot better before. 10, 20 years ago, everyone was, you put your turn signal, people will let you in. Now you try to put your turn signal, you try to go, they try to block you. Just like, where they're coming from? I think they're coming from California. Because
traffic's heavier now.
Yeah, it's a lot heavier traffic. So people are almost in a hurry too. So anyways, based on, some countries or some cities, for us, people like in the United States, in the city, the people in the city are rough, right? People in the country, the farmers and so forth are more easygoing, more friendly, right? In Arabia, it was the opposite. The people in the city were the people who were more cultured and more kind, and the people in the desert, the Bedouins, were very, very rough. They were extremely, extremely rough. And they didn't have, the culture was different. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that. And that's why a person comes and urinates in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't become angry at them, right? Because they were different. They're different. And that's why sometimes you go from culture to culture, from country to country, the people's attitudes and certain types of things are, the treatment of people are different. And so this man is an Arabi. He's a Bedouin. Very harsh. But the point, but the messenger of Allah, the fact that he was hurt to the point where he dragged him, I mean, he pulled it to the point so violently that he could see the remnants of that pole on the neck and shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet the messenger of Allah, what did he do? When he asked him for money, he smiled. He smiled at him. Because the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always looking at things that are positive. He never took anything personal. Even when this Bedouin was very violent towards him in pulling that rida. And the way he spoke, would any of the companions say, "Oh yeah, oh Muhammad"? No. They were very, very, very well mannered with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, "Ya Muhammad, murli min mali Allahi alladhi indak." Like he's not even asking. He said, "No, you." He's ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have the companions give him money. Like in other words, the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, give it to me. And so the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, 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 you know, he never got angry for personal reasons. But he did get angry, right? But those who are, you get angry, but when your anger is based on the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's something that angers Allah, then you're angry at that also. If it's something, that's why, because when you love someone, you love what they love. You love what they love. And you want what they want also. And if you get married and you don't understand that, then you might have problems. Right? Because there are some things that you think they're not important. But if your wife thinks it's important, then it's important. Because if you don't think it's important, then of course you're going to have problems. Because there's some things like what's that? Maybe that's nothing. Like, why are you concerned about that? No, for her, maybe that's big. For her, for women, there are certain things that's big for them. Like, you know, they, and for you, you might not think it's anything, right? And that's why if you understand that, you can also be very successful. So like, let's say if she likes flowers, you like flowers, what's the better flower? You put it for 3 days and it dies. Like, but if you buy one of those things, she remembers it for the rest of her life. Right? If you're consistent. Like what is this? What's the benefit of it? What's the, for you, yeah, maybe if that's something that she likes, and sometimes they like certain, and people like certain different things. So you have to try to find out, you know, what they want and what they like. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with something, then you are displeased with that also. And if it angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it angers you also. Because your everything that you have, your love, is based on your love of Allah and His Messenger. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he used to, one time he would get up in his khutbah and he would say, "Aflaha minkum man hafidha min at-tama' wal-hawa wal-ghadab." He said, "Aflaha minkum," successful. Those who are successful are those who are able to control their tama'. Tama' is what? At-tama' is wanting more. More. You're just chasing after the dunya, wanting more. Wal-hawa is controlling your desires. Controlling your desires. And wal-ghadab, if you're able to control your anger also, then you'll be successful. And you will be successful. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have so many examples of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also being angry. Right? We have a lot of examples of it. But remember, every single time he's angry, he never becomes angry for personal reasons. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qad, he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, hadith in Sahih Bukhari, he said, "Qala rajulun," a man said, "Ya Rasulullah, inni la'ata'akharu an salat fil fajr." O Messenger of Allah, sometimes I go to pray late on purpose. إني لا أتأخر عن الصلاة في الفجر مما يطيل بنا فلان. Because that man, the imam, he prays very long, and I want to go pray in the masjid, but he prays so long, I wait until towards, I wait, he starts the prayer first, and then I go late on purpose. Why? Because the imam prolongs the Fajr prayer a lot. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, فَغَضِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very, very angry. And he said, the Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُهُ غَضِبَ فِي مَوْضِعٍ كَانَ أَشَدَّ غَضَبًا مِنْهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ. I never saw the Messenger of Allah being angry over a certain thing more so than that day. And then he said, Ya ayyuhannas, he gets up and he's angry and he stands up. Ya ayyuhannas, O people, inna minkum munafirin. Ayyuhannas, ya ayyuhannas, O people, inna minkum munafirin. There are some amongst you who chase people away. There are some amongst you who are chase people away. Faman amma an-nas, whoever leads the people in prayer. فَلْيَتَجَوَّزْ فَإِنَّ خَلْفَهُ الضَّعِيفُ. Whoever prays, he leads the people in prayer. Then let him lighten it. Let him not prolong it. فَلْيَتَجَوَّزْ means let him, you know, just pray an amount that's not extremely long. فَإِنَّ خَلْفَهُ الضَّعِيفُ. Because behind you, you have people who are very weak. وَالْكَبِيرُ. And someone who's maybe very old. And wazal hajj, and sometimes people who are in need, you know, and they have needs to attend to, you know, they have things to attend to, they have needs to attend to. So when you pray very long, it causes them, you know, to be worried. And also if you only have a few minutes left, right? You know, say you have 15 minutes, you come to pray, and you're expecting the imam to pray 15 minutes, and he goes 20 minutes. What are you thinking? I got to get back to work. Are you able to concentrate? No, you lose your khushu. You lose your khushu. So don't pray too short, but at the same, don't pray too long. And look at the condition of the people. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he recited. He recited in Fajr, "Watini wa zaytun." And then he recited again, "Watini wa zaytun." And the companion said, I don't know if he forgot or if he wanted to recite it twice. So how long is Watini wa Zaytun? It's very short. Two rakas, Watini wa Zaytun first, Watini wa Zaytun the second also. And sometimes he would recite Watini wa Zaytun in the Isha prayer also. So, but sometimes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite between 60 and 100 verses also. And so sometimes he would pray a little bit longer, depending on the situation, depending on the condition. Sometimes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear the crying of a baby and he would shorten it right away. He would shorten it right away. Sometimes at nighttime when he delayed the prayer a little bit later, he would pray it shorter than usual. If he prayed a little bit earlier, maybe he would pray it longer because the people were coming. And so he was always making sure that he didn't make it difficult for the people. But that's why when somebody makes the deen difficult, make people not come to the masjid. Look at this man. What do you want people to do? You want people to come to the masjid early. But the imam, this imam here prays so long that he comes and complains. He says, you know, I go late. And in another narration, actually, it mentions it was the companion, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who used to lead the people in prayer. And he used to pray very, very long. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry at him. So here the Messenger of Allah was very angry. Why? Was it for him? No. It was because of the deen, for prayer. Because he was making people run away from the masjid. Avoid praying in the masjid because you're praying too long. And so that's an example of one time the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being angry. And in another hadith, in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, رَخَّصَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي أَمْرٍ. the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a concession, a rukhsah. What is a concession? A concession is something like, let's say, wiping over your socks or combining your prayers when you're traveling, or shortening your prayer time when you're traveling, or when you're sick, you don't have to fast. That's called rukhsa, concession. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rakhasa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi amr. There was an issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave concession for. فَتَنَزَّهَ عَنْهُ نَاسٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So there was a group of people who thought that, you know what, that's not for me. You know, they said, تَنَزَّهَ means like, you know, as if they look down upon. Like, that's not for me. Like, that's not a good thing. Like, I'm better than that. Right? And so in other words, they thought that that concession is something that's not good. That's not good. And so, فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم heard it. فَغَضِبَ حَتَّى بَانَ الْغَضَبُ فِي وَجْهِ. So he was so angry that you can see the anger in his face. And he said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَرْغَبُونَ عَمَّا رُخِّصَ لِي فِيهِ. What's wrong with some people? Notice the Prophet, he knew who these people were, but he didn't mention them by name. Why? Because when you're reminding others, you don't want to expose people. You want to remind people without, if you don't have to, you don't want to expose people. And so he used to say, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَرْغَبُونَ عَمَّا رُخِّصَ لِي فِي. Why is it that I find some people that they don't like, they stay away from that which I have been given concession for? That Allah has made it easy for me and given me this concession, and you think يَرْغَبُونَ عَمَّا, I mean, رَغِبَ عَمَّا means they dislike it, they don't want it, as if they're better than that. And he says, فَوَاللَّهِ by Allah, لَأَنَا أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَشَدُّهُمْ لَهُ خَشْيَةً. By Allah, I am more knowledgeable about, I'm the most knowledgeable of them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm the one who fears Allah the most. Like, I'm the one who fears Allah the most. That means you think that this is, you know, the ease here. You think that that's not good. That's not piety. That's not righteousness. And that's not good. You know, because like there's some people like, oh, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married. You know, like, I don't need to get married. Like, you don't need to get married. You're better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's not part of our deed. Following the sunnah. Or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he sleeps at nighttime. No, I'm not going to sleep. Right? And so anything that is permissible, and you say it's not permissible, you think you're better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at, then, of course, that's something that is not, that's not something that's praiseworthy. And so the Messenger of Allah was very angry at some people. And in this particular hadith, it wasn't mentioned which one. There are other hadith that mentioned three people that came to the Prophet, or came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and they asked about the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fasting and the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said that, you know, that's he is who he is, right? He is who he is. You know, then we should. As for me, you know, I'm not gonna pray. I'm not gonna sleep at nighttime. The other person says, I'm not going to break my fast. I'm going to fast every day. As if they looked down upon what the Prophet ﷺ did. As if, and they said, no, he's, what he did, yeah, he, but Allah already forgave him his past and future sins. I need to do more than that. Right? But no, following the sunnah is the most pious and righteous thing you can do. To follow the sunnah according to what was been, that's taught, including the ruhas, the concessions. And so don't think that you are better than this and better than that, better than other people, especially in areas where you're giving ruhsah about. And that's why there are some people, just because of their clothing that they wear, they might wear certain clothing and they might wear turbans and they might wear this and that. thinking that they are better than everybody else, right? Thinking that they're better than everyone else, even though that which other people are wearing is permissible, as long as it's within the confines of Islam, it's permissible. And so that's why to look down upon somebody who's doing something that's permissible also, just because you're doing something else and you think that you're better than them, that's not something that was of the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمٍ مِّن سَفَرٍ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came back from a trip, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that she had put up something that like some curtains in the house, and it had some pictures of some of this and also some certain things that had like some idols, pictures of idols and so forth. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard it, when he saw it, he tore it down right away, and he said, أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة الذين يضاحون بخلق الله. Those who are punished the most on the Day of Judgment are the ones who try to compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. قالت, and so she said, فجعلناه وسادة أو وسادتين. And so she said, we cut it up, and we didn't throw those curtains away. We just put them in and made them a pillow, the fillings for the pillow. And so that's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And so she said, بقرام علي على سهوة. She said, I totally was, I forgot. I never even thought about it. I just put it up and didn't even sometimes you do something and you don't even realize it, because sometimes it's wrong, but it's you're negligent about it, or you just look at it and you don't notice it, right? You don't take notice it, and so the Messenger of Allah was angry, and that's why he tore it down right away, and they made that into pillows, and so. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, we have so many other and other times in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to become angry, but the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the type of anger that's praiseworthy. The anger that's praiseworthy is, let's say, you see someone doing something bad, and you're angry because the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being respected, right? And so the hurum and the maharimillah, that means that which is haram, people are neglecting some of those things. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to see, as I mentioned, when he would become angry, you could see the anger in his face also. You could see the anger in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. But what should you do? Like, what are some of the things that we can do? Because in this hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La taghdab. And he would give advice to different companions, because some companions have different problems. And so he would give them advice based on what they needed. So there are some people who have anger management problems. Some certain things, little things get them angry. They're all over the place. It's not for the sake of Allah. Some people get angry because of what? Some people get angry because of their tribalism. Because of tribalism. Right? Because of their tribe. Not because of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people get angry because of money. Because of money. Right? That's not something that you should get angry over, unless somebody's spending money in haram way. But it's just, money, and some people get angry because you know, because of personal reasons, or because of food, or some people get angry because they're hungry, right? They're hungry. Like, yeah, you're hungry. It's easier to get angry. But don't get angry just because you're hungry and then start yelling and start behaving in a way that is inappropriate, or that even that could lead to even haram. And some people get angry to the point where they hit their, so it makes them hit their wives or commit violent acts. That's not something that's praiseworthy. But if someone gets angry and they, let's say if they're in, you know, in the battle, and they get angry in terms of, like, for the sake of Allah, and they're fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course that anger there is considered praiseworthy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, first of all, what should we do? How can you hold back your anger? Well, you have to realize that holding back your anger is very, very is something that's praiseworthy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ means, learn to forgive. I mean, learn to forgive. And order that which is righteous and good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And turn away from the ignorant. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and He describes the people of Jannah, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those who hold back their anger, Allah praises them. And these are the people of Jannah. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And not only do they hold back their anger, they forgive others also. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are muhsinun. So if you know the reward of it, of holding back your anger, then, and also forgiving others, then it's easier for you to do so. So the reward is, what is the reward of it? The reward of it is Jannah. And so that's why if you're angry, ask yourself, okay, if I just can control my anger, Allah gives me Jannah. Is it worth it? Or should I just yell at that person? Right? Because sometimes when you're angry, you just want to yell at them. And you want to do this and that. You just want to get it off your shoulders and just, you know, just release everything. But if you know that, hey, if you hold back, then you will get Jannah. Isn't Jannah worth it? Then you say to yourself, yes, Jannah is worth it. So you hold back. So think about the reward in the hereafter. Abu Dawood, and Sunan Abi Dawood, there's a hadith from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man kathama ghaizan, man kathama ghaiza. Whoever's able to hold back his fury, وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنْفِذَهُ, and he's able to release that fury. That means he's able to, you know, let's say for example, you're angry. And sometimes when you're angry, you can't do anything about it. Somebody who oppresses you and they're stronger than you, or they have more power and influence than you, so you can't do anything anyways. Right? Even if you wanted to do something, you can't do anything. That's something else. But if there's some cases where you're able to, right? And you're angry at somebody and you're able to avenge, but you hold back. But you hold back and you don't release your anger. دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَىٰ رُؤُسِ الْخَلَائِقِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you. You know, when on the Day of Judgment, you know how some people, in this world, you have a gathering, and some people, hey, I have a, and who they call you, so-and-so, we have a prize for you. Come forward and get your prize, right? Out of all the people, you get called up, you know, like, let's say there's an assembly, there's a, you know, a meeting, or there's a gathering, an event, and you know they're giving prizes out, like, brother so-and-so, you know, you've done so much for the masjid, we would like to come forward, you know, you can choose them, we would like to honor you, we have a present for you, a prize for you. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all of the people, ala ru'us al-khala'iq, means in front of all of creation, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call them out, come forward. so-and-so. حتى يخيره الله من الحور العين ما شاء. Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. So do you want to choose of the Hur al-Ain? Which one you want? Take your pick. Take your pick in front of everybody. Of the woman paradise. That's your prize. You hold back in your anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a prize. And how is that going to be? Allah knows best. In the hadith in Sahih, in Sunan Abi Dawud and in Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, mentioned that it is an authentic hadith. So that's somebody who's able to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give. You might say, well, how about the sisters? What the sisters do? First of all, the sisters will get whatever they want. You understand? Whatever they want is different. Men want different things, but know that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will give you what you want. And this also is indication that, what is it that men want? What was it that men want? And that's why, you know, some of the brothers are like, for me, I don't want to get married a second wife. No, natural instinct. If a brother has an opportunity, he's going to get married. He wants to get married to second wife. I mean, if he doesn't get in trouble and so forth, then it's easy for him to do. He'll do it. Right? That's natural. That's what men want. So on the Day of Judgment, in other words, whatever you want, you get. So that's what men want. But there will be no jealousy. So don't worry about it. You're like, that means in front of everybody, my wife is there. Ya Allah. No. There's no jealousy. No jealousy, no envy. Inshallah, you'll be called on the Day of Judgment. You'll be called on the Day of Judgment. And if it's a woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her that which is appropriate and that which she loves, that which she wants. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, on the Day of Judgment, all of our actions we will be accountable for. So if you want to hold back your anger, know that if the anger is not for the sake of Allah, if it's not for the sake of Allah, then know that you'll be accountable for that. So thinking about the consequences of being angry also helps you to hold back your anger, And of course, in the end, you have to seek refuge and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you that which can give you control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help you. He is the only one who can help you. And so, of course, if someone wants to control their anger, they have to make an effort. It doesn't come easily. You have to make an effort. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in hadith from Sulaiman ibn Surad, قال استبى رجلان عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن عنده جلوس. There were two people who were, were arguing with each other. They were calling each other names or cursing at each other while we were the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we were sitting. وَأَحَدُهُمَا يَسُبُّ صَاحِبَهُ, and the other person is calling the other person out. I mean, he's yelling at the other person. And مُغْضَبٌ قَدْ إِحْمَرَّ وَجْهُ, he was very angry. He was yelling at the other person. His face was red. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ كَلِمَةً. So the Messenger of Allah sees this, and the companions are there also, and he says, I know of one phrase. I know something that he can say. لَوْ قَالَهَا لَذَهَبَ عَنْهُ مَا يَجِدْ. He said, if he were to say it, he would immediately, he would stop being angry. And that which is afflicting him would go away, right away. لَوْ قَالَ, if he would say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. If he would say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, it would go away. Then anger would go away. فَقَالُوا لِلْرَجُلِ, and so they said, they went to the man and they said, أَلَا تَسْمَعْ مَا يَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. He said, أَلَا تَسْمَعْ مَا يَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Do you not hear what the Messenger of Allah just said? And he said, إِنِّي لَسْتُ بِمَجْنُونَ. He said, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not crazy. So that's why when people are angry, like, subhanAllah, the Messenger of Allah is saying to the companions, he's not even speaking to him. But look at the wisdom here. Because if we speak to him, he's in a state that he doesn't want to listen. Right? So he's trying to say something so that he can hear. He can hear without directly speaking to him. I know something. If he were to say it, then it would go away. But that man was so angry, he said, "You think I'm crazy? You think I'm crazy?" Yeah. Because why did he tell him? He said, "Say a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim." Because anger is from the shaitan. Anger is from the shaitan. And so you say a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim when you become angry. The first thing you should say, and that's what? That's seeking help from Allah. A'udhu billah, I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed shaitan. And also, if you're angry, don't speak. Because your mouth will say things that you'll be regretful later on. It's best to be quiet. And that's what, and of course, we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." If you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. If it's not praiseworthy, it's not something good that you're saying, then don't say anything at all. So you should try to be quiet. In another hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, annahu qal, "Allimu, allimu wa yassiru wa la tu'assiru." Teach and seek ease. Don't make it difficult. وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. And if you become angry, then be quiet. If you feel that you're getting angry, don't say anything. Don't say anything. So that's another thing. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't say anything. The second thing, the next thing you should do, if he is standing up, then let him sit down. And if he's sitting down, then lay down. And there's a hadith from Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu qal, "Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal," Abu Dharr, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idha ghadiba ahadukum wa huwa qa'im falyajlis." Idha ghadiba ahadukum, if one of you becomes angry and he's standing up, falyajlis, then let him sit down. فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَضَّجِعُ. And if he sits down and he's still not angry, he's still angry, then lay down. You want to lay down. Why? Because if you're standing up, you're going to do other things that are not good. If you're sitting down, it's still not working, lay down. So you won't be able to see anything except for the sky. You won't be able to see anything except for the ceiling. Lay down, lay down. Because if you're looking at this, you're looking at other things, it's just going to get worse. Calm down first. And after that, you know, you take care of it later, right? And if you can, then also you should go make wudu. Why? Because when you make wudu and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaitan runs away also. So, and the shaitan is from what? Made from fire. The jinn is from the shaitan. Iblis is made from fire. And fire, you put out fire with water, right? And so if you want, if you can, go make wudu. Because when you go make wudu, inshallah, that anger will go away. So the hadith that we're speaking about now, لَا تَغْضَبْ لَا تَغْضَبْ لَا تَغْضَبْ. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. That means anger that's not for the sake of Allah. Anger that is for personal reasons. And one who should be angry, you should be angry when you're, let's say your children don't pray or your children are not following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're disobedient to Allah, then that's when you need to be angry. You're angry for the sake of Allah, not for yourself, not for anything else. And once they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course, that's what you want, because if they're doing something that's pleasing Allah, then of course it pleases us also. Inshallah, with that, we'll end it right here. And if anyone has any questions, inshallah, we can open up the floor for questioning, inshallah. If not, inshallah, yes.
Is it toys, is it allowed at home, children toys?
Is it allowed? Toys. There are different types of toys. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions used to fast in Ramadan. And then when they fasted, they would also have their children fast. And then when they became hungry, sometimes they would give them like toys made out of cotton. Right, made out of cotton or minrahin, which is cotton, which is like, you know, like sometimes you have certain type. It's very rudimentary types of plushies from the old days, They didn't have that time. So as long as those toys are not like lifelike to the point where it's you know, where it becomes almost like statues and idols, then it's not it's something that's not recommended. Why? Because especially toys are like, because toys, first of all, they're two different things. They're toys that people don't put for decoration, right? There's certain types that people put up in their wall for decoration and things like that. And then there's some that people don't care. You step on it, you throw it, you like, you don't care. The kids are playing with it, right? And so that's why some of the scholars I mentioned, that if you have a picture in your house, and if it's a picture that's on the ground that people step on, you know, like you step on it, like a floor, and it has maybe a picture, maybe of something there. Some scholars say you should try to avoid it, but they said if it's only for you know, what do they call it? Floor mats in front of your house where you put shoes on and you walk on.
Doormats,
and it has some pictures on it. Nobody's gonna say, "Oh, that's that picture." Like nobody's gonna like say, "Oh, that's something praiseworthy," because you're stepping on it, right? You're stepping on it. You're not going to revere it. So the toys usually are not something that's revered, like the kids play with. But so it depends on what types of toys. You know, there's some toys that are also like very lifelike, like Barbie-like. You know, like that's also, you know, that's not something that's also praiseworthy also. But if it's like, you know, like, especially if it's, it doesn't have like full shape form of real humans, as sometimes of plushies that people have. And wallahu alam, as long as you're not putting that up for, because you shouldn't put those things, like some people put them in shelves, right? And for decoration, that's not something you should do. But if it's something you just throw around, like, you know, your kids come, you step on, you put it back in a toy box, and they're playing with it, well, that's okay, that's permissible. That's similar to what the companions used to have, some of the rudimentary type of that they would make toys from that. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she also said when she was young, and when she was only 10, remember, when she was in Medina, she would sometimes play with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, play with her friends. And then the Messenger of Allah said, "What is that?" And then she said it was like a horse with wings. He said, "That's strange, a horse with wings? Like, is there such a thing?" They're like, "Is there such a thing?" But you have to understand, what they used was very simple, right? Like you put some sticks together, right? Right. Let's say you have some sticks, or you have like, you know, like the, sometimes some people play with dirt, and they're making, does that really look like a horse? That's why the Messenger was like, "What is that?" Like, "Oh, it's supposed to be a horse with wings. Does it look like a horse with wings?" It doesn't look like a horse with wings, but that's what her imagination is telling her, that it's a horse with wings. Otherwise, the Prophet would not have asked, like, "What is that?" "Oh, a horse with wings." No, he said, "What is that?" "Oh, a horse with wings." "Yeah, a horse with wings. What is that?" And so if it's, you know, if it's like that, those types of things, then it's permissible. Allah, wallahu ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
The question is, some people
do
the middle of the house. Okay. Toilet is a face kibla.
Mm-hmm.
If it's your own house,
the stronger opinion is that you should never face the Qibla, even if it's inside your house.
Even if it's
covered inside your house, you should not face the Qibla. Yes, if you can control it. Yes. The stronger opinion is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he you know, the hadith from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. He said, when one of you goes, إِذَا أَتَى أَحَلَكُمُ الْغَائِبُ فَلَا يَسْتَقْبِلُ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَةَ بِغَائِتٍ وَلَا بِبَوْمٍ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُوهَا وَلَكِنْ شَرِّقُوا أَوْ غَرِّبُوا. Said, when you go relieve yourself or you go to urinate, then don't face the Qibla. But face east or west. And because the people of Medina, east and west, is not the Qibla. North and south is the Qibla. And do not turn your back towards the Qibla also. So this is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand? An order from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an order from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is directed towards the Ummah. And this is the opinion, this is an action. This is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the scholars are of the opinion that if there's something blocking, then it's permissible. But you have to understand that between you and the Qibla, there's always something blocking. Between you and the Qibla, there's no way that there's nothing not blocking. Do you understand? Let's say I'm outside. Is there a possible way for me to face the Qibla directly? No, there's going to be trees, mountains, buildings, so many things. Do you understand? So many things blocking. So if you say if it's blocking, it doesn't count, that means you've thrown this whole hadith aside. It would never apply except for when? Unless you're in front of the Kaaba, right? That's the only time it would apply. And that's why, and as for the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and so forth, when he saw the Prophet ﷺ inside, turning his back or facing Bayt al-Maqdis when he was urinating and so forth. That was but that was an action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was looking. He was in the roof, and so maybe it was specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in some cases he may be. He's looking at the direction. And sometimes, if you have a contradiction between the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it could be something that's specific for him, that's permissible for him and not permissible for us, like marriage and so forth. But if you have a verbal hadith and you have an action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which one takes precedence? His words, because his word is directed towards what? Towards us, the Ummah. And that's why Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he said, when we went to Sham, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, when we went to Sham, we saw our bathrooms. We saw that the bathrooms were made facing the Qibla, and so kunna nanharifu, we would turn even the bathroom looking. We would turn away from the Qibla, when nastaghfirullah, and we ask Allah for forgiveness. So this is the bathroom that's covered. But the stronger opinion is the opinion, like the opinion of Abu Hanifa, is of the opinion that even if you're inside, you should not. You should have. Of course, if you're in public toilet, that's different. You can't exchange. But if it's your house, and if you have the opportunity to change it, and it's not really expensive, or if you're making a house, or renovating your bathroom, and it's not too much of a difficulty for you, then do it, inshallah. Even if you're inside, you should not face the Qibla or turn your back towards the Qibla. And Allah knows best. We'll speak about that, inshallah, in those